The Sports Call Podcast is brought to you by Pepsi. If you ever miss Sports Call Live, or if you just want to hear something again, make sure you go back and listen to our show on demand wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy an ice cold Pepsi along with the hottest sports talk. Pepsi, that's what I like. Go back and listen to all of our great interviews with many guests, including Joe Bartle of RotoWire. We chat with him each and every week. Get a 10 free day trial. RotoWire.com/free to get all their expert advice and analysis throughout the week. You want to win your fantasy football league, and they can not only help you win, but just outright dominate your league. Check out our friends over at RotoWire. To our phone lines we go, and the man, Joe Bartle, now joins us. JB, how are things?
You know what? Doing pretty well.
That's good to hear. Obviously, we want to talk about all things in the fantasy football world, but we got to start close to home for you and bring up those Green Bay Packers, Joe, who suffered their first loss of the season. Aaron Rodgers throws his first interception, a pick six, to Jamel Dean, an Auburn Tiger. And you know we had to give you a hard time for this. How are you?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was an embarrassment. I had joked on Twitter, you would have thought the Packers thought this game was in California with how they just rolled over. And of course, they got destroyed by the 49ers and Chargers last year, and they've struggled in California often. So it was, you know, I was disappointed. I guess I wouldn't say it's exactly a surprise from what I've seen from the last 2 or 3 years. And maybe that's, you know, maybe that's rude or disrespectful to the Packers. I don't know if I really agree with that, though, because how often is your Hall of Fame quarterback going to throw a pick six, basically what amounted to two pick sixes, because the second interception immediately transferred into a Ronald Jones touchdown in back-to-back sequence of events? I mean, that would be demoralizing for anybody, especially for a team that is used to Rodgers not turning over the ball much. So to see the Buccaneers rattle off 38 straight points or whatever it was, it is disheartening as a fan of the team. But I guess I kind of look at, like, I mean, these were super weird circumstances. So kudos to the Buccaneers guys for making the plays and taking advantage of what I can only assume was just a complete flip of morality for the Packers after being up 10-0. But it was a weird situation, and it's almost like it was so weird I don't put much stock into it. Gronkowski did Gronkowski things. That one was, like, clear as day. I felt pretty confident that was going to happen. Tom Brady had looked pretty good as well, and quite frankly, the second half of the Chargers game, I was like, all right, this is – I think I have to walk back my comments on Brady being less than what he is at this point in his career. He's really playing well. So those were good things to see. And, you know, Ronald Jones, again, taking part of the Packers' bad rushing defense. I thought maybe with Kenny Clark back, things would be a little bit different, and it was to an extent. But when you're up to that lead that they had, it's just going to be a natural thing where they can get anything they want on the ground. So, I should be more upset about it because it certainly felt like they rolled over and rolled over probably too soon into the game. But it really felt like odd circumstances I just don't see happening really – probably again for the next 4 or 5 years.
Joe, I reached out to you last week on Twitter, and we traded some messages back and forth regarding the Kansas City Chiefs. But, you know, now on the record here, let's talk about this. If you have a guy like Clyde Edwards-Helaire on your team, and the Chiefs have now signed a guy like Le'Veon Bell, does it scare you off if you're a Edwards-Helaire owner? Or do you really kind of think about it as, you know, are the Chiefs really going to do that? I mean, a guy that just rolled off 161 yards for you, are they really going to take down his production and let Le'Veon Bell get some playing time? I mean, what's your say?
Yeah, it's a frustrating thing because I was all in on Edwards-Helaire as a first-round pick in fantasy drafts back in August. I think I want to stay on that hill right now, and if I have to die that way, okay, that's fine. But you know, when you're anticipating Edwards-Helaire really fitting into a dynamic offense, I'd love to see him score more touchdowns and be more involved productively when it comes to receiving yards. But, I mean, he's a really talented guy, and I haven't seen anything on the tape right now in any of the Chiefs games that I've watched, every single one of them, that makes me think otherwise. He's a really good running back and not just, oh, it's the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, really good. No, I think he's just a really talented guy and could probably be this successful with a lot of other teams. So if you're the Chiefs' perspective, especially in this year with COVID-19 and injuries that happen every single year, the idea of just getting more talent at any position, especially when it comes relatively cheap like Le'Veon Bell, that's not a bad deal. But I also don't think Bell is necessarily going to cut into the work of Edwards-Helaire. So we talked about this a little bit in the podcast, the Tuesday RotoWire podcast, where we break down free agents. We were kind of discussing what this means with Bell and Edwards-Helaire. Like, if you're trying to go out and aggressively acquire Edwards-Helaire after this, or maybe you're buying low on Bell, I think for sure you can assume about the 25% of snaps on the soft from Darrell Williams and the other Chiefs backup running back. That goes almost exclusively to Le'Veon Bell. Maybe not this week necessarily, but I think that's a very easy floor that you can project. So how much does Bell cut into Edwards-Helaire's work from that point forward? I don't think it's all that much, and there's going to be people that overreact and think the Le'Veon Bell from 3 years ago is now the running back for the Chiefs. I got to go get him. And maybe that's true. Maybe we're going to see a scenario like week two with the Buccaneers where Fournette gets 24 carries, 100-plus yards, and you're like, oh, great. There goes Ronald Jones. Not going to have to worry about him anymore. It's the Fournette show. I just don't really see that happening. I think Edwards-Helaire is very clearly and obviously the best running back for that team and the best running back on that team, just like Ronald Jones is the best running back in the Buccaneers. And we've kind of seen it play out now with Fournette missing some games and just not getting involved all that frequently. So that's kind of how I see the scenario. But, you know, I'm worried. I have a couple different shares of Edwards-Helaire, and I also tend to believe Le'Veon Bell is still a capable back. So by default, he has to do something in that offense. And if it becomes at the expense of goal line opportunities where Edwards-Helaire has admittedly struggled, that's a little bit concerning for his fantasy prospects.
Joe, we have a new starting quarterback in the National Football League coming up this weekend, and that's Tua Tagovailoa. On the fantasy side, is Tua worth a fantasy pickup this first week that he's available?
Yeah, so this is interesting. I'm going to probably embarrass myself if I ever try to say his last name. I need a few more reps before I get up to that point. So if I say Tua, just know I'm going to, like, I'm mouthing out his name in the air right now, his last name in the air. So I don't have to embarrass myself too much. But, yeah, I don't think Tua is worth a pickup this week. Certainly he's on bye. If you're like in a 2 QB league format, I can see a scenario where you would go ahead and pick up Tua and probably put most of your free agent budget in, because I just don't see how they go back to Fitzpatrick after he's been so demonstrably upset about the switch that we've seen right now on Twitter and social media and everything else. So I think Tua, so long as he's healthy the entire year, is going to be the starting quarterback. And if you're in a 2 QB league, any starting quarterback is valuable, even Nick Foles, for example. But like in standard fantasy formats, I don't know if I'm ready to go out and get him at all. Like there's probably other guys who can stream, certainly, that aren't on bye. But you look at this next week that he comes and faces the Rams, like that's going to be a really difficult matchup for him. And I'm actually surprised they decide to make this choice. Not that Tua starting is weird, but to have Tua start against the Rams as opposed to Tua starting against the Jets, which was basically a guaranteed win from the get-go, and then have him get the confidence and work it in through the bye, that always made more sense to me. So it's weird to see them transition to this point now. And it, to me, confirms he's healthy, which is good. But I don't want to go ahead and get aggressively after him in free agency until I really see him start to be productive, kind of like we did with Justin Herbert over a number of weeks before he kind of become this mainstay in fantasy.
Joe, now that we're a little over a third of the season, I mean, it's a pretty big sample size at this point for players across the league. But at this point, I'm sure a lot of teams nearing halfway through their fantasy seasons, are looking to make trades. Give us a couple guys that might be on the sell high, buy low type of market where you might want to trade away a couple guys that are having uncharacteristically big starts and maybe try and buy a couple guys that would have a bigger second half of the season.
Yeah, I'm all for trading Kenyon Drake. I've been that way now for a little bit, and certainly, well, I mean, I wasn't keen on him to begin with as a late first-round pick, and I'm certainly feeling that way now. I think you're going to have no better shot than to trading high at this point after he broke off a 68-yard run or 69-yard run for a touchdown with 2 minutes left in that Monday night game when the Cowboys didn't care at all. Like, this is perfect. You know, some hapless owner might see or manager see, oh, Drake had 160 yards, 2 touchdowns, guy will get him, right?
Yeah.
Now, I'll be glad to move him in any situation possible in that case. Like, I don't know how low I'm going to go, but let's say Edwards-Helaire for Drake straight up, easy choice for me to take CEH. Maybe like a James Robinson, who's got a decent enough schedule. You're like, what? I mean, James Robinson was an undrafted free agent guy for most people. I'll gladly take him over Kenny Drake as well, too. And it's simply because they are not involving him much in the passing game, and we are still seeing Chase Edmonds be a critical factor in that offense. And when you factor also Kyler Murray being a huge rushing threat and throwing as well to maybe DeAndre Hopkins or something like that in the red zone, there just aren't many opportunities for Kenyon Drake to do all that well. So I'm very ready to sell high on him if I possibly could. As far as like going and getting people, I think we're going to be a week too late on this. But I just want to reinforce the fact that Derrick Henry, Aaron Jones, Alvin Kamara, if you have the opportunity to get any one of those three guys, you absolutely need to do so. The fact that they're already through their bye week is a huge factor for me. And if you could couple maybe even a Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray plus a good running back or wide receiver, provided you have some good quality depth at quarterback, I would gladly do that. I think the difference between what you can get in the quarterback market from free agency or something else like that is probably 75% to 80% of that, whereas you will not be getting Derrick Henry, Aaron Jones, or Alvin Kamara production at the running back position on free agency. It's just not going to happen very often. So I'm really, really comfortable parlaying any additional depth I have for any one of those three guys at running back. And I think you could also make a point for Devontae Adams and Michael Thomas, too, and maybe even Hopkins, although Hopkins does have his bye still to come. So factor that in. The bye weeks thing, that's like your biggest differential, biggest advantage besides maybe targeting the Jets when it comes to fantasy defenses. That's the biggest advantage you can have right now as we're kind of through this middle or third of the way of the season.
It's Joe Bartle of RotoWire joining us on our Auburn Bank phone line. He joins us each and every week to give you the best fantasy football analysis, advice, whatever you need. Send him a follow on Twitter at JB Fantasy Sports. Joe, as always, we appreciate how kind you are with your time. Enjoy football this upcoming weekend, and we'll talk again next week, all right?
Yeah, thanks guys for having me on, as always.